listening to Real World News.
Young Europeans at the climate talks, new generations demand to be listened. On Wednesday, Young Friends of the Earth Europe called European Union governments to commit immediately to 30% domestic emission cuts on the way to 40% by 2020. By generating millions of jobs, this would be a solution to the high rate of youth unemployment in Europe. The activists from several European countries carried out, together with other groups of young people, an action outside one of the buildings where the UN official negotiations are taking place in Bonn, Germany. They demanded a reduction of greenhouse gas emissions for the generation of green jobs, as unemployment rates increase in several countries of the European Union. There, they submitted a document to governmental delegates with their main demands. In addition, Young Friends of the Earth is organizing a side event in the framework of the negotiations. In this activity, the group will launch their Pushing Europe for Better Targets campaign and the publication The 40% Study by Friends of the Earth Europe. Yesterday, Real World Radio interviewed two representatives of Young Friends of the Earth, Suzanne Hamel from Germany and Marco Cadena from the UK, to know more about the work of the group in Bonn, their main concerns, and their new campaign.
Real World Radio is sharing a table with two representatives from Young Friends of the Earth Europe here in Bonn, Germany, in this new round of negotiations of the UN on climate change. Susan Hamel from Germany, welcome.
Hello.
And we also have Marco Cadena from the UK. Welcome too, Marco.
Hello.
Okay, Susan, could you please tell us why the Young Friends of the Earth Europe decided to be here in these negotiations of the UN on climate change?
Yes. So YoungFo has a few activists at the negotiations this time because we think it is important for young people to engage in this process and to understand what is going on so that we can take action at home and influence our governments at home better. So in order to be able to do that, we need to understand what the big policy issues are, and that's why we are here, and we try to make sure we understand and can take back home to our activists and our local groups what we need to do in terms of pressuring our governments to raise their ambition, and especially in the European region, where we need to make sure that the EU governments agree to much higher targets than they have currently as their position.
Susie, how many people from the Young Friends of the Europe have been around these days here?
I think we were about four people in the first week, and now we are again four people, but not the same people in the second week. And so we are a very small team, but we try to do a lot of work. We are trying to do blogs, and we also try to engage with the other international youth and European youth that are here. A lot of young people are actually at these negotiations, so we try to meet with them and get the discussions going and try to see what they are thinking and how we can coordinate ourselves and how we can make joint campaigns and put maximum pressure on our leaders to be more ambitious.
Okay, Marco, Susie was saying that, the purposes of Young Friends of the Europe to be here, would you strengthen some of your main political demands here in the negotiations? What are the issues which are most important from the young people from Friends of the Europe?
I would start with the fact that in the negotiations, Europe is having a crucial part because there is like a big push from the developing countries and sort of hesitation from the rich countries, and Europe somehow seemed to be a bit reluctant to come off either side of the fence, and it has the capacity, the money, to take leadership on reducing emissions, not just talk about it or not just offset it, but take real action to tackle climate change. So Young Friends of the Earth, in this regard, could help or basically strengthen the demands by focusing on particular EU countries and asking them to influence the whole parliament of the EU in order to get those ambitious reduction targets. So I wouldn't say that here we would strengthen or demand, but it's definitely a very important platform for us to sort of have an overview of what the EU is about to do or how the EU actually approaching this issue internationally, so that in the next few months we can translate that to a European perspective and deliver messages which are strong enough that influence the government in international levels.
Marco, we know that Japan, Russia, Canada are countries which are opposing to a new commitment, a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol, that the G77 plus China have lots of countries which are backing this new commitment period. And we have heard that the European Union is saying we support this new commitment period, but at the same time they have conditionalities. How do you see this process?
When I first heard about the conditionalities, my first thought was that this is again something which a strategic message in order to delay the conversations a little bit and see what the other rich countries say. So basically it showed that a EU doesn't have the courage to step in and say, right, we're going to do 40% reduction targets by 40% carbon emission reductions by 2020, and we want to do it and join us, and we want to lead on this and follow us. Doesn't matter who is opposing, who is not opposing, we do it, and we could together lead these negotiations towards a good outcome. What they're doing, exactly the kind of opposite. Well, they're not doing exactly the opposite, but they are being really sort of careful of what they're saying. They're trying to sort of be very strategic, very political, and they're not being direct from our perspective, strong enough to sort of have any outcome here or in Durban. So I'm actually personally really worried about the KEP, because of Kyoto Protocol, because if we won't have a second commitment period, or even if we're going to have a gap between the two commitment periods, that will have a big legal and not just legal, but like a whole impact for the whole planet. So I'm personally really hope that the EU realizes its potential in these negotiations and can step in and drive the whole negotiations forward.
Do you know, Susie, which are these conditionalities that the EU is putting on the table to go on with the Kyoto Protocol?
Yes, I mean, we from Young Pho, we are of course no policy experts, but what we have heard is that the EU is asking for, in order to support the second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol, they are asking for a global agreement that includes other major emitters to take on reduction targets as well. They also ask for the introduction of new market mechanisms to achieve their reduction targets, which is also something that we are against. And finally, the third conditionality is that the rules in terms of how you can use offsetting or the accounting rules for land use and land use change, how you can use these to achieve your targets. So that's the third conditionality, that these rules should be sorted out before you can actually agree to what your target will be. Which, if you look at the science and what science tells you your target should be, normally your approach is that you first set your target, right, and agree to that target and don't say, but let me first check how much offsetting I can use before I commit to a target, which is not very helpful.
And Susie, what is the target that, or the number that Young Friends of the Earth Europe is asking to be reduced by the Annex 1 countries in these, in the coming years to have to avoid a catastrophe on climate? What are you asking for?
So I also have to say that we are not so very fixed on the targets and on the numbers, but we really want to inspire young people to not just talk about what's the difference of a certain percentage target, but really create space for them to be able to think of alternative lifestyles and all that, which obviously includes then also be more specific on targets. So we are asking for the developed countries and also the EU to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2020 at least, and that these reductions should be made domestically so that it includes a real lifestyle change and reduction of consumption and all these things, and not just the EU can pay other countries to reduce emissions for them, right? So that's really a key issue, that these emission reductions should happen at home within the EU, European countries.
Susie, you are having Young Friends of Europe is organizing a side event here in the Maritime Hotel where are being done the negotiations on climate change. Tell me please something about this side event. What is it going to be about? When? Where?
Mm-hmm. So that's right, Jose. We are having a side event tomorrow evening in the Ministry of Environment, which is very close to the Maritime Hotel, where we are going to talk about our new campaign, which will push the EU to raise their emission reduction targets, because they currently have a very, very low target of just 20%, which we find is really ridiculous. And we know that it is so easy for the EU to at least move to 30% in the next coming months, so that this can then be the basis for them to step up their efforts and move to 40%. And so during our side event, we will basically present our campaign for pushing Europe and putting this pressure on the EU to raise their ambition. And we have invited a few delegates from EU member states who should come and join us at the side event so that we can discuss with them and present our demands to them, and also make them aware that there are a lot of young people within Europe who are actually asking leadership from the EU heads of government, and who are also willing to make changes in their lifestyles that are necessary. So we want to raise awareness within the delegates for these demands, and we hope that they kind of engage with us on these discussions and tell us about what they think, what kind of influence a youth campaign like this can really have on the big politics. So we are really hoping, looking forward to discussing this with them.
Okay, Marco, Susie was talking about this new campaign pushing Europe for better targets. Have you defined any special things or topics, or how are you going to develop this new campaign in Young Friends of Yes Europe?
So essentially the campaign has two parts, or two like sort of action driven parts. The first one, which is already running, is that basically we collected CVs from young people all across Europe in our websites, and they could send it also on post, or we filled a template CV, filled a template CV in on our events to basically ask the EU to provide green jobs. Now, how can they provide green jobs? They can provide green jobs if they invest in low carbon technologies, if they change their energy use or the energy sources, meaning reduction targets, strong reduction targets. So basically we hooked the big issue in Europe, which is jobless youth. In many countries, this is going to be a huge problem. It's already a huge problem. It's going to be even bigger problem in the next few years. So, and the solution is clear. We have a fossil era which is over, and we have to get out from this fossil era and get a new renewable era where wind and solar power is driving our country and our economy. So, and these jobless youth could have stable job for life if there are strong reduction targets. So this is how we approached it. This is one part. The other part is from next month, I think, there is throughout summer, there is a thing going to run called 1 cent campaign. Now, that means it's basically a very clever approach again. It's we are asking young people to send 1 cent contribution to their own national environmental minister, asking them to put that money to the pot in investing for a green future. So this would be like sort of contribution, like a, you know, like a formal sort of contribution for them that they demand leaders to invest in renewable energy and in green technologies in order to reach the high targets which we want the EU to commit to. So it's also, again, a very fun and very clever way to involve as many young people as possible. And from the summer, we will start this rolling out, and it will roll out, and we will ask young people to send their 1 cent or one penny or whatever the currency in the country is. So it's going to be, it's going to be a very interesting period.
Okay, I have a last question for you both. Always, it is usual hearing people say that the youth have the enough power, strength, energies to fight for a better world, for a better with justice, and the political leaders are always repeating that they are taking care of the new generations and of the kids. Is it really happening, this kind of talks here? How do you see that?
I think the answer to that is very clear. If you see how long this process has been already going on and without clear results, we can assume and really see that there's not enough progress, and the adult generation, if I may say like this, don't seem to understand what the urgency really is and how quickly we need to act to prevent the worst effects of climate change, and especially for the future generations. And I think I don't think we are desperate yet, but we need to really make sure we put the maximum pressure on them so that they really agree to all the things that we demand at the next big climate conference, which is taking place in Durban at the end of the year. And for us, it's really a crucial issue, because many of the negotiators, they will not be around anymore when the effects of climate change will be seeable, let's say. And so for us, we as the young generation, we really need urgent action right now, and it has to be more ambitious ambition from the developed countries, and kind of this delaying the process and always introducing new topics that we should talk about, instead of just now finally saying, okay, these are our targets and this is what we promise to do, also in terms of taking responsibility for future generations. We're really not seeing this right now, and we think we can commit, or we will commit, to mobilizing as many young people as possible to put the maximum pressure on leaders, especially in the EU, being based here in Europe. Yes.
Okay. I have an extra comment on this. I think for all this, youth needs knowledge and empowerment, because today is a big problem as well, that youth are not either not caring about the issues or not knowing about the issues, or not knowing the underlying problems which they face and they will face in the future. So Young Friends of the Earth Europe is trying to engage as many young people as possible and involve them in skill shares, in activities, and in sharing knowledge about this in an easy and understandable way, which is on their language, which is not, really legal language or something like that, in order to make them feel that they actually can have a voice, they can have an influence on the government, and their voice is one of the most crucial voices from all the voices around Europe. And in order to do this, for example, here in Bonn, we hold a seminar for on climate justice for young people. We have about over 30 young people in Bonn who are basically having a 1 week long workshop and activity place where they're just getting together, and every day with a very busy agenda, they're talking through from policy to activity, skill shares, workshops, and it's really a space what we want to see mushrooming around Europe, and sort of like a wake up call to youth to sort of say, hey, this is your time, and in order to stand up, you need to know more and you need to get involved.
Okay, imagine that I'm a European young person from wherever in Europe, and I would like to be in touch with you and form part of the campaign and take part, work with you all and help working on these issues. What should I do?
So I think you could check out our website. I must say, I don't know the address right now. I think it's www.pusheurope.eu. But you can also go to the Friends of the Earth Europe website and click on the youth section, which is the young, which then will be the Young Friends of the Earth website, and we will have information about our activities on this website as well. Young Friends of the Earth also has a Facebook page, so you can also check for that on Facebook.
Okay, Marco, this web of Young Friends of the Earth Europe, how should I write it?
It's foeeurope.org, and this is the Friends of the Earth Europe as a big network of organizations, and there is a link there for youth, so you can just find, yeah, this called, there is a little box called Young Friends of the Earth Europe, and you'll find it easily. And just to say that we also reaching out to international youth, so our vision would be really a truly internal network, and the Europe part having a Europe part as a separate, very strong seed network, but having like a strong influence from international youth. So don't be put off if you are not in Europe, because you can still get in touch with us, and we would love to hear from you if you are outside of Europe, because we have a lot of things going on with other Friends of the Earth groups around the world, so there is as many ways to get involved.
Okay, so Marco Cadena and Susan Hamel from the UK and Germany, Young Friends of the Earth Europe, thank you very much.